Hey, how's it going, everyone? I know I look a little bit different tonight. I actually was out up until about a half an hour ago celebrating my mom's 75th birthday. Happy birthday, Mom! I did it, Ma! How's everybody doing today? Really, really tough weekend. Obviously, the passing of Bray Wyatt, the passing of Terry Funk, even the passing of Bob Barker. Although that son of a bitch lived to be 99 years old. Good for him, man. All right. Check this out. Tonight's show is going to be a little bit shorter than usual for the simple reason that on Saturday we spent a tad over 3 hours paying what I truly believe, outside of people in the pro wrestling business, probably one of the most beautiful tributes that anybody could have ever given for both Bray Wyatt and Terry Funk. And during the live stream Saturday is when we learned that Bob Barker passed away, so we paid a little tribute to him as well. I have some very sad and disturbing news to talk to you about with regards to Bray Wyatt's death. Now, you know me. I don't clickbait here. I never clickbait. When I say something, when I write a specific word, it is not to drag you in. But we're going to go one step further of what TMZ put out today. And trust me, I got this from very, very reliable sources. And not only that, I did some research as well. Bray Wyatt's death, preventable? Yeah. Not 100% guaranteed. Nothing in life is 100% guaranteed. It is not 100% guaranteed that I wake up tomorrow morning, that you wake up tomorrow morning, that if our loved ones wake up tomorrow morning. You know, that's life. But Bray probably could have come the closest of still being on this earth if he did not do what too many people do. And we're going to open up with that. Now, it's not a cheap plug, but if you did not check out Saturday's tribute show, I promise you, just look at the comments. It is an absolute must. You know, the trolls, we already got rid of them, but absolutely beautiful. Shared a lot of personal memories, shared a couple of clips, some rare clips. Wonderful, but I got to tell you something right off the bat. Some of you already know this story. Okay, my Uncle Joe. Yes, the same Uncle Joe when I was, 9 years old that exposed to me that pro wrestling was fake. You know, it was like around 1980, around that time, and he's like, Fina, give me a tape. And he recorded fucking WWF TV on Channel 9 and played it in super, super slow-mo. And I watched the Strong Bros. Oh, God. I got Matt Riddle on the fucking brain because of that segment with Drew McIntyre tonight, which I did not like at all. You know, not for nothing. But they're concerned about Xavier Woods' well-being. And Riddle's walking around holding a Drew McIntyre photo. Dumb. But anyway, you know, I watched the Strongbows take on Mr. Fuji, and I don't know if it was Mr. Saito. This was around 1980, but I remember watching it in slow motion and swing and a miss. And you realize wrestling was a little scripted, but a lot of you know how my Uncle Joe died. My Uncle Joe passed away probably about 13 years ago, 14 years ago, around there. My Uncle Joe lived in Florida. And my Uncle Joe was a skinny guy. I mean, probably 5'10", 180. But he had a bad heart. And he went to the doctor. And the doctor said, we really need you to get a stress test done. Something, your EKG doesn't look right. We got to get a stress test done. Makes the appointment for the following week to get the stress test done. What does my uncle do? Now, we found this out afterwards. You know what my uncle does? Nice sunny day, calls his doctor, reschedules it for the following week. My uncle died 2 days later. No joke. I have told that story many times on these shows. What does this have to do with Bray Wyatt? Okay, I'm going to read you what TMZ posted today, but I'm going to take it to the next level. Something that they did not talk about, and I'm going to educate you a little bit of what happened to Bray Wyatt, what Bray Wyatt was actually given. And I'm not saying this to be a jerk, but please do not pay attention to the wrestling news sites that are just going to cut and paste the TMZ article. You know, they think that, you know, you know what a defibrillator is that's inside someone's body? They think that it's a tiny little battery pack that's taped to the front of your body because you're reading a TMZ article. My mom, for 45 days, wore what the doctors gave to Bray Wyatt, what, a week ago? And Bray decided not to wear it. He went to sleep, never woke up. That is true. Okay. TMZ. Let me read you their article first, and then I'm going to show you some pictures of what Bray Wyatt was given by doctors, and I'll tell you why. And we will talk about if Bray Wyatt legitimately would have been able to return to the ring. TMZ reported today, Wyndham was discovered in his bed, not breathing, and was turning blue. Wyndham's fiance, I know TMZ said girlfriend, his fiance, JoJo, called 911. While she called 911, her mother was trying CPR on Bray Wyatt. They rushed him to the hospital, and he was pronounced dead at the hospital. Now, police spoke to Wyndham's immediate family members who said he had COVID in March of this year, and that timeline does coincide with what we talked about back in April, and developed heart complications, causing him to have a weak lower part of his heart. Weak lower part of his heart. A week before he died, he was hospitalized with a heart issue. He had a follow-up appointment with doctors the morning he died and was advised to continue to wear an external heart defibrillator, a device designed to treat people experiencing sudden cardiac arrest, which some of you may know as SCA. Though it's not known if the device would have saved his life, investigators determined Wyndham was not wearing the device at the time of his death. They later located it inside his car, parked in the driveway. Okay. Some of you out there know what a cardiac life vest is. TMZ didn't talk about that aspect of it, but I'm giving it to you. For those that want a little bit deeper as far as what happened to Wyndham, he had COVID in March and developed complications that affected his heart, his lower heart, experiencing shortness of breath, sent to the hospital. I'm not going to put words and say that he had a heart attack, but they were so concerned of Bray Wyatt's heart a week ago, they gave him one of these. That is a life vest. It is not comfortable. That battery pack, yeah, it's attached to it. Now, I will go one step further, and I'll show you a different picture of it. Now, when you put on a shirt, you know, really, it looks like you're wearing an old school Walkman, but it is not comfortable. But that is what the doctors gave to Wyndham. That is something you have to wear 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Not 365 days a year. Because doctors normally will prescribe you the vest to wear it 30 days, 60 days, 90 days to see if the heart requires an internal defibrillator. Think of Triple H. Triple H has a pacemaker. My mother has a pacemaker. My father has a pacemaker. My mom was prescribed this vest. And what does this vest do? I'm not going to play medical expert here. I'm going to show you. For those on audio only, I want to read it to everyone out there, and then we'll talk a little bit about the vest itself. The LifeVest wearable defibrillator is manufactured by Zoll in Pittsburgh, and that is the number one manufacturer of this, guys, by the way. The LifeVest is worn by patients who are at risk of sudden cardiac arrest, providing protection during their changing condition, and while permanent SCA risk has not been established. Okay, what does that mean in simple English? Doctors don't know yet if Bray Wyatt needs an internal defibrillator, a pacemaker. They don't know the extent of the damage to his heart. They can't just open up your body, look inside, and say everything looks good. You could do an EKG. You could do certain tests. You could do sonogram of the heart. But you truly don't know the extent of the damage. So what this machine does, not only does it protect you, but it also keeps record, tracks what's going on with your heart. Let's continue. The LifeVest is lightweight and easy to wear. Of course, it's going to make you think that it looks and feels okay. It allows patients to return to the activities of daily living while having the peace of mind that they are protected from sudden cardiac arrest. The LifeVest is a non-invasive and consists of two main components, a garment and a monitor. The garment, worn underneath clothing, detects arrhythmias and delivers shocks. The monitor is worn around the waist or from the shoulder strap and continuously monitors the patient's heart. If a life-threatening heart rhythm is detected, the device alerts bystanders. An alarm goes off, guys, and delivers a shock to restore normal heart rhythm. The entire event, from detecting a life-threatening arrhythmia to automatically delivering a treatment shock, usually occurs in less than 1 minute. Timely defibrillation is the single most important factor in saving a victim's life. A treatment shock must be delivered within a few minutes after an event, heart attack, to be effective. With each passing minute, a patient's chances of survival drops 10%. This is the most important sentence of everything that I have said so far, friends. The LifeVest does not require bystander intervention and has a 98% first treatment shock success rate for resuscitating patients from sudden cardiac arrest. If you do a Google search about this vest, if you do a Google search and you look at people wearing this vest, what you will see for the most part is elderly men. Men in their 60s, their 70s, their 80s. You see some women. You'll get a random younger person wearing it. But at the end of the day, it's like wearing, I don't want to say a bra, but it's very uncomfortable. But this thing is monitoring your heart 24/7. if you get a heart attack, sudden cardiac arrest, which is what took Bray Wyatt's life, that fucking vest shocks him. My mother, we talked about it on Saturday before we even learned about any of this. My mother was pronounced dead twice in St. Francis Hospital 7 years ago. And she has a pacemaker. And if something goes wrong and her heart goes out of rhythm, it delivers a shock. Ric Flair, you know, when he had his match, he's got a pacemaker inside. What was the big concern? That he could get zapped during the match because it's not healthy to be breathing that heavy and doing what you're doing to your body. Triple H doesn't want to take the chance of wrestling again. He has it inside. The reason why they gave this to Wyndham is because he was such a risk that something could go wrong by wearing that vest. Now, if you take a shower, obviously you take it off for a couple of minutes, you know. But the point is, if he would have been wearing that vest, it would almost be guaranteed that it would have zapped him, set an alarm. Somebody in the house would have heard it. And more than likely, he would have been here to this day. That is not clickbait. That is not exaggeration. That is just science. That is the facts. They prescribed Bray Wyatt the cardiac life vest a week ago. Wasn't like it was 3-6 months ago. And, you know, I feel good. I'm nearing a return. I feel good. I don't need to wear it. I'm fine. I feel great. He left it in the car, went to sleep, never woke up. That is horrible. What the fuck? That was freaking scary. Did anybody just see that? There's like a moth flying in this room. Did you see that? Trust me, I didn't go to the store and say, give me a moth. That's fucking creepy, man. There's a fucking moth flying around in this room right now. Remember the night with the Daphne thing? This is creepy shit, man. Oh my God, that is creepy shit. There's a fucking moth. Oof. Whoa. That's not... Dude. All right. I just wanted to present you with what I thought was the most important thing we could discuss today. Because that is so sad. And you know what? It may not apply to you. And it may not apply to a friend or a family member of yours. But 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, 1 decade, 2 decades from now, you may have a heart condition. Your mom, your dad may have a heart condition. Someone that you truly care about has a heart condition, and they are told, you have to wear this vest. You cannot take that off. You want to take a shower? Fine. But you cannot take that off because it's going to save your life. Now, of course, you're not going to live to infinity. You know, people with pacemakers do die anyway. But the thing is, 1 week ago, you imagine his family right now? Seriously, I thought about that early, and I thought about my dad. I thought about my mom. Could you imagine how fucking angry I would be right now if my mom and my dad were prescribed that vest, and then they die a week later, and I find out the vest is in the goddamn car? You can't be mad at Wyndham, obviously, but never take it for granted. If a doctor tells you you need this and this is going to save your life, do not take it for granted. Even if you feel like $1 trillion, do not take it for granted and think that you know better. Because 36 years old, gone. Gone. Now, would Bray Wyatt have been able to wrestle again? That is the question that a lot of people are asking. The more you look into this, the more you start to think to yourself, even if he was wearing that vest and survived. You know, and you got to understand something too. You know, he could have been wearing this vest earlier in the week. And he may have had some incidents. You know, and the thing, you know, shocked him. We don't know if he had any other incidents. You know, sometimes when someone gets a heart attack, they get, you know, a couple of small ones, or the even strokes, you find out somebody had multiple. So we don't know to the extent what has happened over the last week. But the fact, you know, your heart, the lower part of your heart. Now, I'm not going to get into science today and explain the top part, the widowmaker, the lower part. But when the lower part of your heart gets weak like that, I don't know if that's something that you could truly recover from. If Bray Wyatt had to get a pacemaker, I personally don't think WWE would allow him in the ring ever again. So, you know, there are some people in this world, and I'm not saying that Bray Wyatt did this. I'm not saying that whatsoever. But there's some people in this world that feel, if I have to take this, if I have to wear this, if I have to do this, if I have to limit myself this, well, fuck that. No, I'm going to do what I think is best for me, and they don't follow instructions. You know, you could say that about vaccines, you could say that about life vests, you could say about, you know, doctor tells you, stop eating all the fried foods. You know, you're this close. You got to cut you got to change your diet. All right, doc, I'll start next week. You know, I'm guilty of that. I've had over the last 5 years a doctor say to me, you need to cut this out. You need to stop this. You need to quit smoking. You need to do this. And a lot of people don't. And then tragedy happens. So the more you start learning about this life vest and what happened with Bray, the more you realize there is an extremely high percent. Listen, that vest company would be sued big time if that success rate of 98% was not legit. So it is extremely sad what we have learned now, but going forward, learn from it, whether it applies to you or a friend or a loved one. Now, there's an old saying, you could lead a horse to water, but you can't force them to drink. You could have a family member or a parent who has a very serious condition and they're told to wear this and do this, you know, and you can't force them to do anything. You know, if they get a little lazy over it and something happens, you know, it happens. But, you know, you try to learn in the future. So really, really awful, man. So freaking sad. And now you start realizing that there is a very, very high percentage that this was preventable. It was preventable. At minimum. If he was wearing that vest, the alarm would have went off. And it's not a little tiny like beep, 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 beep. Go on YouTube and see one of these things in action. It's pretty wild, man. It's pretty wild. So, again, my condolences to Wyndham's family. You know, again, my condolences to the Funk family, even to the Barker family. So, I wanted to open up with that just to share with you. You know, I didn't want to just read a TMZ article and move on. I figured I'd give you a little bit of, you know, a little bit deeper dive into what happened to him. I think it was worth talking about. So, by the way, I saw some comments about the CM Punk, Jack Perry, AEW stuff. We don't talk AEW on Mondays, other than we do the weekend ratings. Wednesday, for Wednesday Night Dynamite, I will be talking about it. And trust me, I already have this thumbnail set up. So we will have plenty of time Wednesday to talk about All In. and what happened with them too, and the rumors of the suspension and what's going to happen with All Out. So you could check that out. Also, just a quick reminder for those that are interested, tomorrow Kevin and I are going to be taping the preview and predictions for Payback. We will be live on Patreon, so if you're a member of our Patreon family, patreon.com/DonTony, you can join us live. If you're not, no worries. This will be online for everyone by Wednesday morning. And speaking of Payback, WWE doesn't think Gunther versus Chad Gable is pay-per-view worthy or premium live event worthy. And we kind of had that vibe last week, you know, when they did the count out win. Because in WWE's eyes, and I think, look, let's be honest, anybody with half a brain, you're not going to stop Gunther from becoming the all-time champion. You're not. Gunther is a special person. That guy is not once in a generation, but he is a special kind of talent. And he has gone this far. You do not stop him short. So how do you make anybody believe that Chad Gable has any shot whatsoever? Well, you win by DQ. You win by countout. Because it doesn't change the fact that Gunther will become the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time. And because it is so predictable, and because Gunther will not lose the title next week, they have decided we're going to put it on Raw instead of putting it on Payback. So next week on Raw, we have Chad Gable taking on Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. And as Michael Cole said tonight, if Gunther does retain that title, he will become the longest reigning champion in history. And remember, we have the following week Superstar Spectacle. As of right now, there's no match advertised for Gunther, and Superstar Spectacle is a day after. So you got to think of the timeline here. Next Monday is September 4th. So if he survives that, even if he defends it at Spectacle, that would be September 9th. He beats the record September 8th. So you mark that on your calendar. Also, and I know I'm going out of place a little bit. That's fine. But I want to talk a little bit about Drew McIntyre. Another match that they announced next week is going to be a tornado tag match between the Viking Raiders, Drew McIntyre, and Matt Riddle. Now, I mean, we know Drew McIntyre ultimately is going to get sick and tired of Matt Riddle and just beat the balls off him. If you watched Raw tonight, and, you know, again, I didn't come home until 30 minutes before Raw ended, but at the restaurant, I had it on the phone, so I watched 98% of Raw tonight. When Drew McIntyre threw the chair at Xavier Woods, no member of the Viking Raiders was anywhere near Xavier Woods. They played it off afterwards that, you know, Drew McIntyre, you know, it wasn't intentional. It was an accident. He was aiming for the Viking Raiders and hit Xavier Woods instead with the chair. Bullshit. Go back and watch it. You know, either Drew McIntyre is lying or one member of the Viking Raiders was not in a position that they should have been. But, again, I don't mind, you know, and you know what's funny, guys? Doesn't it feel like what's happening with Drew McIntyre and Matt Riddle right now was supposed to be Randy Orton and Matt Riddle? And maybe WWE got news that Randy Orton's not returning anytime soon, and we have to have some babyface, some major babyface turn on Matt Riddle. That is a storyline they've been wanting to do for a very long time. So they're like, fuck it. Let's do it with Drew McIntyre instead of Randy Orton. That's what it kind of feels like for me. Now, what they decided to do tonight was Matt Riddle gives Drew McIntyre a pitcher. And the pitcher, if people want a little bit of a zoom in, it's supposedly Matt Riddle photoshopped his bro tights on Drew McIntyre's body so Drew could see how cool he looks wearing the bro logo and the bro colors, because Riddle wants the tag team. And Drew McIntyre, not very thrilled about it. In fact, if you looked a little bit closely, during the New Day versus the Viking Raiders match tonight, they kept showing Matt Riddle and Drew McIntyre, who was sitting at ringside, and I grabbed one screenshot late. Drew McIntyre was looking like, I really don't want to be here. And, you know, sooner or later, you know, you got to be patient, everyone. Be patient. You know, another week or two, I think, especially right after Payback. I think another week or two, Drew McIntyre will just get fed up and just decide to lay him out. But the New Day tonight, now, you know, we've talked about the Viking Raiders ad nauseum. At this point, I don't know how you could save the Viking Raiders. And as I said yesterday, unless WWE is fine with the Viking Raiders being pretty much mid-card, you could have them win 100 matches in a row. If the aura of them is that people are just not into them. We talk about ratings, and they take some major drops in numbers, and it is repeated. It is over and over and over again. Sometimes it's so often, it's almost like madness. Look at AEW Collision this past week. We talked about Darius Martin and Action Andretti three straight weeks on Collision, three straight weeks, the lowest part rating-wise of Collision. What did they do this week? They put them on Collision again. This is not like, you know, I know there's Stars of Tomorrow, but when you got now probably 4 weeks that they're on, and 4 weeks your fans are telling you, we really don't want to see these guys. You know, I mean, it's almost like madness. But with Viking Raiders, they beat the New Day today. Because what led to Drew McIntyre throwing the chair and hitting Xavier Woods with it? Basically, you know, they're having the match, and Ivar takes Kofi Kingston, and he throws him into Matt Riddle and Drew McIntyre. Even that looked kind of crappy, but Drew McIntyre is so pissed off, it's supposed to be like he's just throwing things at everybody. And he throws one of those rolling chairs, which are pretty heavy, and he nails Xavier Woods with it. And then while this is all going on, the Viking Raiders hit their finisher on Kofi Kingston. What do they call it? The Radna Rock? Radna? As in Gilda Radna? No, it's R-A-D-N-A, I think. I don't know. But they hit the Radna Rock on Kofi Kingston for the win. But again, you know, goof time. They're all concerned about Xavier Woods. And Matt Riddle is like, Xavier, is he okay? Because he's in the trainer's room. And Kofi is like, yeah, don't worry about it. You know, he's a fighter. He'll be fine. But Matt Riddle is like, is he okay? And he's holding the photo, the photoshopped photo of Drew McIntyre. He's walking everywhere with it. I mean, I understand what the character of Matt Riddle is, a little bit naive, you know, a little bit simple, you know, and he's, you know, really into the tag team with Drew McIntyre, you know, and he's walking around holding his Photoshop photo, but it looks goofy when, you know, they're trying to portray that Xavier Woods got banged up pretty bad. And he's like, is Xavier okay? Is Xavier okay? So Riddle's going to get the balls beat out of him in the very near future. But next week, as I showed you earlier, we're going to have pretty much a tornado tag match. Drew McIntyre and Riddle versus the Viking Raiders. Now, does this mean that the New Day going to get involved? Probably. Does this mean that maybe Xavier Woods gives a little receipt to Drew McIntyre? Maybe not intentionally. Wink, wink. Probably. But that is what we have on tab for next week. So that was your outcome in that match. Now, as we talked about a few moments ago, Chad Gable will be taking on Gunther next week for the Intercontinental Championship. Tonight, probably, and we'll get to Becky Lynch and Zoe Stark in a minute. this, as far as wrestling wise, this was the best match of the night. They went good 15 minutes, Ludwig Kaiser and Chad Gable. Unfortunately, the ending of the match was pretty much a WWE kind of outcome. Giovanni Vinci gets involved. Chad Gable looks like he's about to get the win. Vinci gets involved, gets a disqualification. Chad Gable is your winner. And this proceeds to have Imperium, you know, end up in the end laying out Chad Gable. You know, we had a little bit of interaction with Otis. Otis suplexed Giovanni Vinci, but Ludwig Kaiser attacked him, and they ended up leaving Chad Gable on the mat. At one point, Chad Gable did lock in the ankle lock, but ultimately he got his ass kicked. And next week is going to be the match, but, you know, once again, we know what the outcome is going to be. You know, we will have history. I do not believe Chad Gable wins by DQ or countout next week. They're not going to do three out of four contests where Chad Gable ends up on top. And no, I don't believe Chad Gable will be the one to ultimately dethrone Gunther. Once Gunther passes that record, I don't think they are going to have him drop the title that fast. Somebody yesterday compared it to Nikki Bella. Trust me, Nikki Bella's reign is a lot different than Gunther's reign. They're not. Listen, when Nikki Bella, it got so tiresome after that they turned it into a storyline with the countdown clock and everything just to try to make it a little bit more interesting. Just like what's going on with the women's tag titles right now. The women's tag titles, they don't know what the fuck they're going to do with it right now. So what do? Oh, let's just have Piper Nevin take it. And she's a champion. And suddenly Adam Pearce left his balls in you know, Dunkin' Donuts. You know, where is throwing down the law? You're not a champion. You didn't win. So that they did that to try to like turn something caca into something somewhat interesting. It's not a shot on Piper Niven and it's not a shot on Chelsea Green. They are good. They definitely are championship worthy. It's that WWE doesn't feel it's strong enough to do a tournament. You know, if they would have gone through the tournament, we might have been able to see some antics early on with Piper Niven and Chelsea Green where they're just not on the same page, but they're eking out wins. And as the tournament goes on, they start gelling a little bit more. They start becoming almost like somewhat of a comedy act, but they are working together. And by the time the end of the tournament, even if it's a 2 or 3 week tournament, they win the championships. Then it feels like Piper Niven actually won something and didn't just take it. So next week, Gable will take on Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. Two other matches, and then we'll talk about Becky Lynch versus Zoe Stark, which was very good. I enjoyed it tremendously, and I saw a super chat come in a few moments ago with regards to the Terry Funk hardcore match from SmackDown, and I think I have a good answer for that person as far as what you said tonight on Raw. But we had Tommaso Ciampa defeat Bronson Reed. And quite honestly, this was not a good match. Ciampa shows off how strong he is. That guy is really freaking strong. He's a monster. Bronson Reed is also a monster. But, man, does it certainly feel like WWE has just decided, you know what, Bronson Reed is a singles guy? It ain't fucking working because he's losing. As soon as he became big, he became a loser. And tonight, I don't know what the fuck they did. If you look at the screenshot don't look too bad. There is Tommaso Ciampa pinning Bronson Reed. Why Bronson Reed is, look at his legs. He looks like a turtle with his shell on the ground. His legs are flabbing around, and I'm like, Ciampa's not even hooking your legs. What the fuck was that? But for those that didn't see the match, basically what happened, what it seemed like it looked like, was Bronson Reed, I guess, was going to do like a Samoan drop on Ciampa, And he falls backwards, and I guess Chomper is supposed to just, you know, because you do a Samoan job, you fall backwards. And I guess Tommaso Ciampa was going to turn it into like a crucifix pin. But I don't know if maybe just, you know, Bronson Reed was too sweaty or what. But I see Ciampa like he's like missing. And he has no grip on Bronson Reed. So instead of like a crucifix pin and a roll up, Ciampa is like grabbing his arm. Look at it. He's like grabbing his arm, and Bronson Reed is moving around like a turtle with a shell, you know, on its back. That his just legs are moving around. And even the commentator said, you know, that was an ugly pin. It was an ugly pin. But, you know, some good news. If you don't go on social media all that much, Tommaso Ciampa has been doing a little segment online, little video things, you know, he's looking for Johnny Gargano, and he's posting missing posters everywhere, and, you know, it's a cute little thing, but in the end, they will reform as a tag team. So even though right now Ciampa just doesn't feel like there's anything really going on, ultimately, it's going to lead to DIY returning as a tag team, and that's a good thing. Now, speaking of tag teams, we have Payback in a week. And something is missing, and it's not just the Bloodline. And by the way, when we get into the week in ratings, I will tell you right now that Bray Wyatt tribute, Terry Funk tribute, and the Bray Wyatt tribute match, that whole two-hour episode of SmackDown Friday, drew bigger numbers than the Bloodline in the last 3.5 years. A lot of fans that don't normally tune in to SmackDown, even when Roman Reigns is on, even when the Bloodline is on, they wanted to see the tribute. Probably more than anything to Bray Wyatt, because Bray Wyatt is of today. Terry Funk, even though he's my favorite of all time, is from yesterday. He lived to be 79. That is a nice, you know, age to live to. But for Bray Wyatt, it was obviously tragic. And we talked about it yesterday, and there's some clips on YouTube. A lot of WWE stars and employees that are not even wrestlers, they all went out in the last couple of days and got tattoos of Bray Wyatt's logo. I saw videos of Shotzi, Cross. I heard Scarlett got it. I didn't see any video of it, but I believe it. And Braun Strowman and many others. And obviously not everybody in 2 days could go out and get a Bray Wyatt tattoo. In time, you're going to see tons of tribute tattoos for Bray Wyatt. But their rating Friday, bigger than the Bloodline. Kid you not. I'm going to share with you in a few minutes. But getting back to tag teams. We got Payback in a week, and something feels missing about it. And again, it's not necessarily that there's no Bloodline on the card. That could change this Friday. But even if Jimmy Uso's on the card, or, you know, obviously Roman is not going to be defending. You're not going to do that, announce it a day or two before the event. So Roman is out. You're not going to suddenly have Jey Uso show up and he's having a match. He could get involved. So he's out. Solo Sikoa, I mean, I don't know what they're doing right now with him. It's a little confusing. Suddenly he disappears. So he's probably out. But even if one of them had a match, something is lacking. You know, I think out of every match on that card, Nakamura versus Seth Rollins is the one I'm looking forward to the most. But we now have a tag team title match. And I don't know what my prediction is going to be tomorrow when I do it with Kev, because we just got this announcement tonight. But a little bit of me thinks we may have a title change. Because for some reason, WWE will not divide up the Raw and SmackDown tag titles. And what I mean by that is, do you remember a few months ago there was a tournament on Raw or SmackDown to determine the number one contenders for the tag titles? And we had Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn defend those titles on SmackDown, and they defended the titles on Raw. Since then, every time they have a title match, it's for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. You would have thought this would have been a very easy way to say, look, Finn Balor, Damian Priest, they are Raw wrestlers, so they get a shot at the Raw Tag Team Championships. WWE, maybe because the tag team division is weak across two brands. Listen, you take the tag team division for the men, you put it all together as one for Raw and SmackDown, it's not so bad. You take the women's tag team division, two separate brands, it's not very good, but you only have one set of titles. So when you have both brands with tag teams, all right, it's not as bad. But on the men's side, it's a little bit easier because you got the Street Profits, you have Imperium, and we could go on and on and on. But tonight, we learn that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn will be defending the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships at Payback against Finn Balor and Damian Priest. Now, when they announced that, this was during the opening match on Raw tonight. And the opening match on Raw, believe it or not, was Damian Priest taking on Sami Zayn. When Sami Zayn cut the promo later on that announced the stipulation in the match, Sami Zayn said they're sick and tired of Judgment Day. What did he actually say? I got it right over here. He says that they've been dealing with the Judgment Day for months. No matter how many times they beat them, the Judgment Day finds a way back to get a cheap victory. Now, that kind of, you know, is like a, what do they call it? Like a double standard or not oxymoron, but how do you say no matter how many times they beat them and then immediately have to say that Judgment Day always find a cheap way to win? If Judgment Day finds cheap way to win, that means you lose. But anyway, they're sick and tired of the Judgment Day. This is like now batting for the bloodline, number two, the Judgment Day. Like, it's the same thing. We're sick and tired. Remember Kevin Owens? I'm sick and tired of the bloodline. Every day, every week, we got to talk about the bloodline. I'm losing my shit. Blah, 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 blah. It's the same thing. So tonight, we have Damian Priest defeat Sami Zayn due to help from JD McDonagh. JD McDonagh trips up Sami Zayn during the match. It was a fun opening match, but I'm kind of tired, just like Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. I'm tired of seeing these guys keep interacting. So JD McDonagh trips up Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn looks back, and this allows Damian Priest to hit the chokeslam, and he gets the win. After the match is over, JD McDonagh hits the ring, lifts up Damian Priest's arm. Damian Priest obviously thought it was the referee lifting his arm. When he turned around and saw it was JD McDonagh, he pushed him away. And when JD McDonagh was like, you know, it's your problem. You know, I helped you win. And Damian Priest just pushes him so hard that he falls on his ass. Damian Priest walks off. So he leaves JD McDonagh in the ring. This allows Kevin Owens to show up. He nails a stunner on JD McDonagh, and Sami Zayn hits the Luluva kick. So Sami Zayn loses. So now we know about the tag title match, and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens announce later on in a promo that they went to Adam Pearce, and now the tag title match is a Steel City street fight. Now, I don't think Cody Rhodes is going to interfere. For those that, you know, are thinking that, I think Cody Rhodes, who does not have a match at Payback. Now, you think about the Dusty aspect of what Cody is doing to finish the story. You could see this, in my opinion, a mile away. Cody is going to be on the Grayson Waller effect at Payback. If you are thinking Dusty in any way, shape, or form, Cody Rhodes looks at the crowd and says, I didn't come here just to talk. You know, let's give these great fans a match. And he'll bait Grayson Waller into a match and probably beat him in 90 seconds. It's what it kind of feels like to me. But Steel City Street Fight. Rhea Ripley, maybe she doesn't get involved because she's got the match with Raquel Rodriguez. Dominic Mysterio probably will get involved. JD McDonagh probably will get involved. Remember, you can't spell Judgment Day without the letters JD. That will be coming. As of right now, there is a good part of me that thinks Finn Balor and Damian Priest will become the tag champions, and every member of Judgment Day will have a title. I'm not going to stay with that officially tonight, but that's where I'm leaning towards right now. Why would you do a Steel City Street Fight unless you got something rolled up your sleeve? Just think about the logic. I mean, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, character-wise, are not idiots. What did they say for weeks? We're sick and tired of Rhea Ripley always getting involved. We're sick and tired of this Dominic Mysterio, this dum-dum. You know, we're sick and tired of Judgment Day always getting involved. So now you do a Steel City Street Fight where they can get involved? Am I missing something here? Did I have too many cocktails tonight? Keto cocktails? Am I thinking too far into this? I don't know. So that was your opening match tonight. So the main event tonight was Becky Lynch taking on Zoe Stark in a Falls Count Anywhere match. All right. I saw this come in earlier, and I think it's not just because it's a super chat. I'm not diminishing it, but it's a great question. And I think a lot of you are probably thinking of this. On Friday, we had a hardcore tribute match for Terry Funk. Terry Funk hardcore match. It was the Street Profits beating the Brawling Brutes. There was nothing hardcore about it except for one table shot spot. Now I have people giving me links for the Kentucky State Athletic Commission saying like, oh, they can't really do this. No, the Kentucky State Athletic Commission, it's more about blood, you know, than anything else. They could have absolutely done it. But if you know you're doing a Falls Count Anywhere match tonight and you know Terry Funk just died, and you're thinking on SmackDown, let's do a hardcore match, and you don't do nothing hardcore except for one table spot, why not as, who gets the credit for this? That's not the right one. Oh, I don't, for some reason, it's not popping up. I'm sorry. I'll read it to you. Hang on, let me just update this. Technical difficulties, maybe. All right. Well, anyway, who sent me this? Sticky Fingers Frank. DT, thank you for the five spot, by the way. DT, you said on Sunday that WWE would have done the Terry Funk hardcore match. Why? Oh, I said on Sunday that WWE could have done the hardcore match on Raw instead of SmackDown. Why didn't they just do that for Becky Lynch versus Zoe Stark? That's a great question. And my first reaction to it is, yeah, look at the match that Becky and Zoe Stark had tonight. Singapore canes, tables, chairs. Yeah, all is interference, Trish getting involved. Manhandle slams through tables. That's a Terry Funk hardcore match. Why didn't they just have Becky in a promo tonight say, we're in Nashville, and Terry Funk, you know, one of his greatest rivalries, Jerry the King Lawler, empty arena match, hardcore match. So, Zoe, I'm going to dedicate this hardcore match, this Falls Count Anywhere tonight, to Terry Funk. Why didn't they just do that? If it would have been, if Becky Lynch in Memphis, now, obviously, Terry Funk is, you know, his home base is Amarillo, Texas. But if Becky Lynch would have said to the crowd that she's going to pay tribute, you know, this is dedicated to Terry Funk, Falls Count Anywhere. Who better than Terry Funk? Makes sense, right? I think the reason why they didn't do that, and this is not a shot on Terry Funk, he's my favorite of all time, but Terry Funk is yesterday. Bray Wyatt was today. And I don't mean as far as dates of death. I'm talking about this generation. And majority of the tributes were dedicated to Bray Wyatt. Almost everybody who had an armband on had it for Wyndham. They were very, very close friends with Wyndham. So if you close out Raw with a match paying tribute to Terry Funk, your last tribute feeling is for Terry Funk and not for Bray Wyatt. That is why I don't believe they did that tonight. It makes a whole lot of sense. If Terry Funk would have been the only one who passed, I think that would have happened. But you're not going to upstage all the tributes for Bray Wyatt and that emotion to close out Raw with something dedicated to Terry Funk. That's just my opinion. But this match tonight was great. But I will say this, I'm pretty damn surprised that Becky Lynch got the win. However, you and I have been talking for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Trish Stratus and Zoe Stark are going to have a fallout. 2 weeks ago, they had a little tiny blurb video online of them arguing in the back. I don't think it ever made TV. But they planted the seeds that Zoe Stark and Trish Stratus are not exactly perfect on the same page. Tonight, we did have Trish Stratus try to get involved. Early in the match, she got chased away from Becky with the Singapore cane. And even though I really enjoyed this main event tonight, if you looked at it closely, Becky was making sure that any Singapore cane shots that she gives to Trish was going to be on the ass, which is protected with tights and underwear and whatever else she had on. You know, like she wasn't going to hit Trish in the bare back with the Singapore cane. Go watch this, the shots. Becky specifically only going for the butt. I mean, the butt stings. I've been hit with Singapore canes. I got hit once with Sandman. You know, they're not fun to take. But getting hit in the ass when you're wearing tights is not as bad, believe me. But she chases Trish early on. Trish ultimately comes back later on in the match. And, you know, we get some tables involved. There was one great moment. Trish hit a bulldog on Becky through a table. And that was a great spot. I mean, it really, Trish looked good. But we ended up getting a little bit of a clusterfuck at the end. Becky goes, gets the upper hand later on and goes to manhandle slam Trish through the announcer's table. Zoe Stark, who was getting her ass kicked, regains, you know, her bearings and stops Becky from putting Trish through the table. But unfortunately, Zoe went to hit Becky with a clothesline. And Becky moved out of the way, and she nailed, which was more like a forearm to the chest, the upper chest, to Trish, and Trish falls backwards through a table. So Zoe Stark fucked up tonight. And in the end, immediately after, Becky Lynch, with a manhandle slam herself, putting Zoe through another table, and Becky Lynch gets the win. So we go off the air on Raw with Becky Lynch winning, Trish Stratus pissed off, Zoe Stark not happy either, but Trish Stratus inadvertently clotheslined by Zoe Stark, put through a table, and this will be another little seed planted that ultimately, you know, they will have their falling out. The big question is, will Lita show up Saturday or this weekend for Payback? And does Trish, when she has the falling out with Zoe Stark, does Trish end up a babyface again? I think that could happen. I think Zoe Stark may end up nailing Trish with a cheap shot. And for some awkward reason, maybe Becky like kind of comes to her rescue, whatever. And, you know, we may see that. But and by the way, thank you all for the birthday wishes for my mom. I haven't had a chance to respond to everybody on Twitter as well. But, you know, you saw over the weekend, I celebrated with a cake on Thursday. this was before we even knew that Bray had passed away. But tonight we had the dinner because today is officially her birthday. That's why I came back late. That's why, as you can see, no hat. Trust me, I got a hat right here. But I didn't want to wear a hat, you know, where I'm wearing like a polo shirt and my chain. So I just decided to have, we'll look like the fat Italian Guido look for tonight. But, you know, the main event was great. And it sets up Payback. But kind of surprised Becky got the win. You would have thought that maybe Trish interference, you know, causes Becky to loss to Zoe Stark, and that adds a little bit more tension to this weekend, because I personally think Trish Stratus has no chance of beating Becky Lynch in that cage. But, yes, I do agree, JS. Of all of the segments of Becky and Trish up to now, since Trish turned, tonight was probably the best. And they didn't even have a match. Trish was just getting involved. But they probably had the best interaction. And, yeah, it was weapons. It was false count anywhere. It was no rules. You know, when you have no rules and you could just brawl and, you know, it's many times more entertaining. Absolutely. One other thing I wanted, well, actually, two other things. Yeah, three other things, actually. We got to talk about Miz. We got to talk about Rollins and Nakamura, and then we got to talk about Rhea Ripley. Let's get into probably the smallest of the three, and this is not a knock on the women, but Rhea Ripley comes out, does a segment. She's in a ring with Dominic Mysterio. Melissa Hesh, a.k.a. Lady Lynn, welcome to the family. By the way, I got to give a shout out to someone else. I will, you know, I actually, let me see if I could pull her name up. She is OTS Tribal Queen. She is part of La Nostra Familia. So welcome OTS Tribal Queen to the family. And happy 28 months to Harris B. And I see XXX with the $2 super chat. WWE at times ruins careers. AJ Styles being wasted? Oh, no. He is not being wasted. He's just at the latter part of his career. And guess what? Speaking of AJ Styles, I had no idea you were going to super chat that. Why do I have a picture of AJ Styles from 2013? You're going to get a little treat. Actually, you know what? Let's throw a little curveball. I hope you all don't mind a little bit of nasty language. Have you ever heard Kevin Owens curse? Kevin Owens really curse, saying some outrageous, horrible things for today's standards? I got three little audio clips for you to tease a little this week in wrestling history, and I promise you will appreciate it. One has to do with AJ Styles. Looking back on it, I was like, this actually isn't a bad promo in TNA. You realize now that he was legitimately shooting on TNA. We'll share that in a second. I got something from Kevin Owens that happened this week in history that's pretty interesting. A warning, vulgar language coming. And also we have another one with vulgar language. It's a personal memory of mine, which I'll show you. But anyway, if you want a very, very quick photo preview this week in wrestling history, the infamous match with Bret Hart and the British Bulldog that happened this week in history, the Mega Powers explode, Ultimate Warrior, doesn't the Ultimate Warrior and the Honky Tonk Man look like they're doing like some horrible dancing? I don't know. I took that screenshot. Don't ask me why. Pat Patterson, I'm assuming he may have been crowned the first Intercontinental Champion this week in history. Ric Flair becomes the WWF Champion. Shane Douglas throwing down the NWA Heavyweight Championship and proclaiming himself the ECW Championship. Another legendary feud this week. Ultimate Warrior ravishing Rick Rude. A lot of what I'm showing you, there are audio highlights from these matches. Also this week, the Lex Express and Yokozuna, no, this is not the body slam on the Intrepid. This was the actual match. Raven leaves WCW, returns to ECW. The Rock and Sock Connection, something special happened this week in history. For me, my personal favorite, XPW comes to the Northeast, invades the ECW arena. I was doing timekeeping. We talked over the weekend about Terry Funk splitting his own arm open when we saw muscle hanging out. That happened this week in history. I got a little clip from that that I promise you you'll like. And why is Kevin Owens holding the WWE Championship? You will have to see. CM Punk trolling Triple H. That is fun. And this week in history, The Miz made his WWE debut. We will not share that history moment tonight. Here's a couple others. Ashley Mazzara, God rest her soul, she won Survivor. WWE suspended 10 wrestlers for wellness violations. And this week is the anniversary of All In, which led to AEW. Some big moments this week in history, and I'm sure a lot of people don't even know that those anniversaries, but let me share with you three quick audio clips. We'll wrap up Raw. We'll get into some ratings, and we'll call it a night. First thing I'm going to give you, let's give the one that you probably all want to hear the most. I'm not going to show you the Kevin Owens photo yet. I'm going to let you hear the audio, and when he mentions the people that he is with in this video, then I will show you the photo. Some of you out there will be extremely surprised of who he was with during this segment. If you never heard this, this week in history, 11 years ago, Kevin Owens said this.
You, I hate you so much. You are such a piece of shit.
Hey, let's chill.
But I'm a piece of shit.
That's true. That's true.
I can appreciate pieces of shit. And they always say, if you can't beat them, join them. Yes. Well, I tried to beat you, and I couldn't. So now, I got your goddamn back. Ooh. I'm not going to suck your dick, but I will make everybody who tries to stand in your way suck your dick. Everyone. Tell me who. Candace, Elgin, Joey Ryan. Yeah. Not these two.
I don't do that.
They're good Christian boys. They don't do that shit.
Right on.
The bottom line is this. A couple months ago, I came here with 100 t-shirts in my bag. I sold 60. That's pretty good, right?
That's great.
Yes. But there's 500 people in this fucking place, so why didn't I sell 100? Yeah. PWG fans, take me for granted.
You got a valid point, Kev.
They took you two for granted for years now. All of a sudden, you noticed a couple months ago, fuck the Young Bucks. Right. Oh, wait, but the other half says, let's go, Young Bucks. Right. You know what? It's too late for that, you pieces of shit.
Make up your mind. Right.
I'm sorry for all the swearing. I know you guys don't like it.
I'm censoring it in my ears.
It's too late for that, you pieces of ass.
There you go.
You think you're so effing cool all of a sudden? Let's go, Young Bucks. It's too late. It's too late for PWG. You see this?
Mm-hmm.
We are the champions. Where's my belt? I don't need a goddamn belt. I made this place. I'm the champion of the universe.
Mr. PWG.
They are the PWG Tag Team Champions.
Yes.
He is the PWG World Champion. And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Matt Rushmore.
Matt Rushmore.
Matt Rushmore, guys.
That's not what we're putting on the shirt. Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore. I like Rushmore.
And this is just the beginning. Suck our dicks.
Ha-ha! Bet you never heard that one before. All right. Let's move on over to AJ Styles. I'm not going to play the whole clip. Play like 2 minutes of it. This is when he left TNA. And this was right before he left. And listen to his words. Kind of realize now that he was shooting for real.
Finally, the juice has come back.
Oh,
to
shit. Oh, fuck. I fucked up.
Finally.
That's Hoovy. All right. Here it is. We'll share Hoovy in a minute because Hoovy did his best impersonation of The Rock. There's a lot of strong language there. Here's AJ Styles. All right, this is actually it.
Now, I'm sure you guys got questions. I've got answers. When it comes to this past Thursday, I know what the biggest question on your mind is. Am I the newest member of the Main Event Mafia? Yeah. Well, I respect what they're doing, and I hope they kick Ace's and Nate's butt. I got to tell you, I have wore the suit and tie before, and it's just not me. And it's not their fault. No. You see, over the past year, I've kind of developed some trust issues. And maybe you know what I'm talking about when you have two of your best friends stab you in the back. Or maybe it was the guys in the truck, guys I considered friends, that aired my dirty laundry for the whole world to see just for the sake of good television without even asking me if it were true or not.
It gets good.
Maybe it was nothing. Maybe it was none of that. Maybe it was me realizing what everyone had told me, that this is just how the business is. And that the only person AJ Styles can trust is Alan Jones.
It gets good.
So if I haven't made myself clear, I am with no one. I might as well answer some other questions since I'm out here. Like, AJ Styles, why did you change? What happened to you, AJ? I get it. Maybe your perception of me has changed. I understand that because my perception of this business has changed. But make no mistake about it. I'm better than the best in the world. I am the phenomenal AJ Styles.
He goes on and trashes TNA, and he would leave right after this.
Although I love what I do in this ring. Although I love what I do in this ring, I have to understand that this is just a job. Despite what everybody thinks, and maybe you know where I'm coming from, maybe you can relate. So you've had that job. You've had that job that just plain sucks. It doesn't matter if you're driving a truck, you're a secretary in a big building. At one point, sometime or another, you've been shafted by upper management when you're the hardest working man in the building. And for what? I realized over the past year that I deserve better. Hey, Mike! I deserve better! Hey, Dixie! I deserve better! I have been your go-to guy for the past 11 years. And for what? So you can bring in the next star, the next big thing, and we can all watch him fail? Or maybe it's that new direction you were taking that didn't go anywhere. There I was to pick up the pieces, to bail you out, and take this company and put it back on my shoulders.
All right. We'll leave it at that for now. There's more to it, but this is one is quick. This is my personal favorite. Hoovy was at the first XPW event, and just imagine, and if you ever watch the video, I'll play it one day. If you watch me at ringside, as this is going down, I couldn't stop laughing. This is Hoovy showing up on XPW in Philly. 21 years ago. Holy shit. It was 21 years ago, guys. 21 years ago. Do I look the same?
Finally, the juice has come.
Hold on. I was having a little technical issue with him, but here we go. I got it now.
It's cooking.
If you've heard all that before. Moving to Guerrero.
If you don't like the what chance, just as you hear this, remember this is 21 years ago.
This is a pleasure for the Jews to be in a juicy house. So tonight, XPW has been doing the best decision ever to bring the Jews to the juicy house.
What? What's he saying?
Shut up. Shut up. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you again. Fuck you twice. You don't get tired? So suck my dick. All you fucking jabronis and marks. What kind of respect is that? You got respect. Not the best one. Not the great one. You got to respect the juicy one.
Oh, God. I kind of knew he was going to say that.
Because it's all about the juice, baby. And the juice is loose. And the juice is on the loose. You know, I see a lot of jabronis, a lot of jokers in the back trying to get a match with the Jews. I don't see any good talent in this building.
What are you talking about?
Maybe because they're from Philly.
Whoa.
All right, that's enough. That's enough. We went off track. So for the younger fans out there that are kind of tired of the what chance, yeah, we've kind of like had them for over 20 years already. So just sitting there ringside and taking that in is pretty wild. All right, let's start taking this home. And yes, I saw some of you bring up John Cena. If you see in the title for tonight's show, John Cena is going to be discussed. And it's big news, man. Holy shit, it's probably out. Oh, you know why they're doing it. TV deal. I'll say this as a little teaser. Get used to John Cena back on your TV for the, I don't want to say foreseeable future, but maybe this is also because of the writer's strike in Hollywood, probably part of it. John Cena is going to be on TV quite a bit in the next couple of months. What happened to WrestleMania? What happened? I can't do it like I used to. We'll talk about that. All right, just to wrap up a couple of things, three segments from Raw tonight. Rhea Ripley comes out with Dominic Mysterio, and, you know, she's hyping up her match at Payback against Raquel Rodriguez, and they obviously have that long history going back to NXT days. In the end, Rhea Ripley says that Raquel is tough, she is a bit strong, but she is not Rhea Bloody Ripley. Raquel Rodriguez comes out. She gets into it a little physically with Rhea Ripley. Dominic Mysterio tries to distract Raquel Rodriguez. Rhea Ripley gets back in the ring, but ultimately in the end, Raquel Rodriguez leaves Rhea Ripley. Hit her with a really, really nice shot, if people saw it. I mean, Rhea Ripley was trying to hit Riptide onto Raquel Rodriguez, and Raquel blocked it, but hit Rhea with almost a JBL-type clothesline. When I saw Raquel do the arm drag, you know, like, as a counter to Rhea Ripley trying to beat her head off, I was like, oh, my God, Raquel, what the fuck happened to your offense? But then she nailed her with this incredible clothesline, and that left Rhea outside the ring, and Dominic's like, you made a bigger mistake. I sound Italian. You made a bigger mistake. You made a big mistake, Raquel. So I thought it sets up the payback match very, very well. I mean, I don't think Raquel Rodriguez is going to dethrone Rhea Ripley. Although Camille, we'll talk about that Wednesday. Camille ends her 800-plus day reign as NWA Women's Champion. What, Dakenzie Page? And we'll talk about Tyrus retiring. We'll talk about AEW. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Oh, we'll talk about Impact Wrestling on Wednesdays, too. I got some awful ratings news for Impact in a little bit. Another segment that we had tonight, which I was shocked at how many people still thought that it was LA Knight when he came out. But LA Knight's music hits early on, and it's The Miz. He walks to the ring, and I think The Miz was trying to walk more like Stone Cold than LA Knight. You know, and I know what some people are going to say. Well, he was doing LA Knight doing Stone Cold, but he goes to the ring, and he's wearing the outfit. Not for nothing, I never realized how skinny Miz's arms are. I mean, Miz looked like, and I'm not trying to criticize Miz. I have always been a fan of Miz. Anybody tunes into my shows, believe me, I have liked The Miz at some points that people thought it was nuts. He almost looks like a fan dressing up as LA Knight for Halloween. But he was doing a good impersonation of LA Knight early on, and he's making fun of his voice, and he's throwing a lot of insults, and later on, he would deepen his voice a little bit. He says that LA Knight tries to sound like a tough guy, and he keeps going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And crowd was still having fun with it, even though it was Miz in the ring. But then finally, the Miz would talk in his regular voice, and he said that LA Knight, all he is a bunch of catchphrases. But when he calls himself awesome, it's not a catchphrase, it's a fact. And the crowd would cheer anything, including losers, which LA Knight will be at Payback. And I thought Miz did a good job tonight. But again, it was just, you know, it was kind of funny. Miz looks small dressed up like LA Knight. But it was a good segment. I enjoyed it. For me, of all the non-wrestling segments tonight, Finn Balor and Damian Priest arguing in the back over Jada McDonagh was childish. You know, even when Damian Priest's like, why don't you go outside? I'm like, did you think he was going to say? Them arguing about, you know, Jada McDonagh is a little ridiculous. But Seth Rollins, they had a really solid segment with Shinsuke Nakamura. Seth Rollins came out there, and I loved the little tribute to Bray Wyatt. He opened up his segment saying, yowie wowie, welcoming everybody to Monday Night Raw. Everybody is serenading Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins is calling out Shinsuke. And he said that Shinsuke didn't show up, so maybe Seth Rollins should go on Beale Street, get a stiff drink, and listen to the fans sing his song all night long. And they go, oh, oh. And then we get a video screen. Nakamura is on the screen, and to me, it felt like, do you remember that video package that they showed of Nakamura when he was going to have the match against Karrion Kross? This was, I think, maybe right before the draft or immediately after the draft, before it took into effect. They showed Nakamura working out and everything. I thought they recycled that, but you heard Nakamura, and Nakamura is saying a lot of horrible shit about Seth Rollins. I don't want to just defeat Seth Rollins. He wants to hurt him. He wants to, you know, take him out. And Nakamura is talking about how he wants to break Seth Rollins. He wants to dismantle Seth Rollins. That Seth Rollins will not even be able to walk his daughter down the aisle later on when she gets married. She's a child right now, but Nakamura, you were seeing him train, and you realize, and it's kind of mind-boggling. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, and I think it's worth bringing up again now. It's mind-boggling that Shinsuke Nakamura has been in WWE this long, and WWE never bothered to really do a strong, long promo like this simply because he talks Japanese. Like, they never, like even when Asuka, up until when Triple H was started being the leader of creative, how many times did we really ever see Asuka do a segment where she's talking straight up completely in Japanese and you see subtitles and this and that? You might have saw a word here, word there, but not a two-minute 90-second segment, and that was tremendous tonight. Nakamura, his voice, even though you don't understand what he's saying, you read the subtitles, and it's believable. It's not even about Shinsuke Nakamura wanting to be champion. Now, not only does he want to be champion, he wants to hurt Seth Rollins. And he's having a blast. He is enjoying taunting Seth Rollins. So we see this video of Nakamura. And then Seth Rollins, he's a little pissed off. And he says that a month ago, Seth Rollins would have given his shirt off his back for Shinsuke Nakamura. The same back that's been broken two places. And I'll say this. I'm a Seth Rollins fan. But even though we know that Seth has some serious back issues, him bringing up that he has broken vertebrae in his back, I don't think it's affecting the fans as much as he thinks it is. Like, if it was that bad, why are you in the ring? You know what I mean? Like, you see his matches are solid. Up until this storyline, when he wrestled AJ Styles, when he wrestled Damian Priest, when he wrestled whoever you want to put out there, do you remember us saying, wow, he's really favoring his back? Wow, he's, you know, there's something up with his back. He's a, no. So the more he talks about having a broken back, you think of his matches, you're like, there was no signs of it. We knew that he has back issues, but it's not serious enough where it seems like it's affecting his matches. Put it this way, Jeff Hardy. When you watch Jeff Hardy right now in AEW, are you pretty convinced that Jeff Hardy is in a lot of fucking pain? Like, when he does moves and he is visibly in pain, do you believe it? Do you think he really is? Could Jeff Hardy just be selling it, really, really exaggerating it because he knows fans believe that he's really in that kind of pain? That's why he was drinking, to numb the pain. So Seth Rollins never really showed us signs of how serious it is. So when he cuts a promo, listen to the reaction from the fans tonight when he said, you know, I would have given you the shirt off my back, the back that's broken in two places. I don't think it's resonating with fans as much as you realize. I got to be honest with you. I'm kind of like rooting for Nakamura to win this. I don't think it's going to happen. WWE's going to have to do a title change. You know, think about that. Rey Mysterio beat Austin Theory on television. You know, the women's tag titles were won on television. We've had some premium live events now, and there's really not much of a title change at all. And, you know, listen, I know we watch Peacock, we pay 99 cents a month or $1.99 a month or $4.99 a month. So even if we had four straight months of events and no titles change, are we really going to complain? You almost have to pay a year's worth of WWE on Peacock to equal one AEW pay-per-view. But you got to start changing some titles on the premium live events. And as of right now, I don't see any titles changing in India. So will Shinsuke be the one to dethrone Finn? But as Seth Rollins is calling out Shinsuke Nakamura tonight, Nakamura would in fact show up, and Nakamura laid his ass out. And as Michael Cole said once again, watch your back. Shinsuke Nakamura did not watch his back, and he ended up laying Seth Rollins out once again. And I thought the segment was excellent. I really enjoyed it very much. But those were your non-wrestling segments for Raw tonight. So as of right now, for Payback, we have six matches. By the way, shout out to Rizzo. Thank you for the five spot, my friend. He says, that's what always drove him nuts about RVD. Anytime he did the five-star frog splash, he always ended up writhing in pain. Like, dude, find a safer move. I know exactly what you're talking about. Every time he would hit the five-star spitz, he would bounce up and he'd be like, ooh. But he would always go for the pin right after. That, you could tell it's him, you know, selling it in storyline. People think Jeff Hardy is legit visibly in agony in some of these moves. Like, you watch some of what he does. I mean, even though they were the lowest rated part of Dynamite last week, which we'll get into in a moment, you look at some of Jeff's spots and you're like, this guy looks like he is in legit agony. Either Jeff Hardy knows that everybody's talking about it and he is just selling it and just really exaggerating it because people are believing it, or he is legitimately in that pain. But, you know, RVD doing that, it hurt him, but it also hurt his opponents because he won a lot of matches with that move. So for some people, doing a move that hurts yourself also is worth it if it leads to a win. You look at Terry Funk with his legendary headbutts. We were watching a little indie clip on Saturday. You know, he would hit the headbutts and he would do damage. But after he did the damage, if you ever look at Terry Funk, he'd be like this. Like, why would you do the headbutts if they hurt you so much? Because it's also hurting the other person. Sometimes you got to take pain when you know you're giving it. So, all right. So, your current card for Payback right now. And let's throw a little graphic up there. Seth Rollins will be defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Shinsuke Nakamura. Rhea Ripley will be defending the WWE Women's World Championship. Again, you know, some people get confused as far as the name of the belts. Io Sky is the WWE Women's Champion. Rhea Ripley is the WWE Women's World Champion. Add the word world. That's the only difference. Rhea will be defending the Women's World Championship against Raquel Rodriguez. Rey Mysterio, in a rematch, will be defending the United States Championship against Austin Theory. LA Knight will be taking on The Miz. Becky Lynch will be taking on Trish Stratus in a cage match. And then you have Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus Finn Balor and Damian Priest in a Steel City street fight, say that fast 10 times, for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. Will Io Sky? I heard something. By the way, can I say something without freaking anybody out? Have you seen that moth since? I have not seen it fly around. That was some fucked up shit earlier. I'm not going to lie. I mean, for some of you out there that might have tuned in a little bit later, you know, we had something really, really bizarre happen earlier. And trust me, I'm not a sci-fi, like I can't fake that shit. I don't want to bring up the Daphne thing because that was just creepy, creepy. If you go back to that episode, you'll see what I'm talking about. Tonight, while we were talking about Bray Wyatt in the vest, a fucking moth flies by in my room, flies right by in my face. Everybody who was live earlier saw it. It's recorded. It's there. I got to look at the times. Maybe somebody could get the timestamp for me later. That's crazy shit, man. The same night of Daphne, part of my ceiling comes down at the very moment it happened. Tonight, we're talking about what happened with Bray with the vest and the fucking moth flies by. It's crazy shit, man. That's Twilight Zone shit. I don't know where it went. I'm not kidding. Has anybody seen it? I haven't seen it. And then, trust me, I don't have any, like, battery-powered, like, moths. That's crazy, man. I got to get that timestamp. Somebody gets it for me. I'd appreciate it. So, all right. Let's start bringing this home. We got to talk about John Cena, and then we got to talk about ratings. Let's talk about John Cena first. Again, I believe this is happening for two reasons. Well, three. Number one, there's the writer's strike. John Cena is not doing anything in Hollywood right now. That's number one. Number two, WWE is trying to negotiate a new TV deal. They're trying to stay with Fox, and they're trying to stay on the USA Network with Raw. So they got to keep the numbers strong. And John Cena, let's be honest, guys, John Cena is not a bad offset for pulling back on the bloodline just a little bit. You know, I'm not saying that the blood, listen, people saying that the bloodline is going to be off TV for months is, it's a lie. But they are going to pull back on the storyline a little bit for two major reasons. WrestleMania is still a long ways away. Cody Rhodes, you know, rekindling his feud with Roman Reigns is way too far away. What do you do in the meantime? Number two, you know, we have Survivor Series. They still have the bloodline infighting they got to do. And we're only in the end of August. So how do you go to November without any other opponents? So they have to, Jimmy Uso will be on Friday. Yes, it was delayed a week because of the passing of Bray Wyatt and Terry Funk. You know, more Bray Wyatt than anything else. But Jimmy Uso shows up this week. Next week, someone else will show up. And then the week after that, maybe Jay makes an appearance. Next thing you know, another month went by. Roman Reigns is not doing anything with the championship. And just when you start complaining, boom, they'll do a match. So having John Cena around helps a lot. For those that don't know, WWE issued a press release a little bit earlier today. WWE announced that John Cena, who returns to Friday Night SmackDown on Friday, September 1st, will also appear on SmackDown for 7 straight weeks, beginning Friday, September 15th at the Ball Arena in Denver, Colorado, through the end of October. So, for those that are on video, you could see his schedule. For those on audio only, this is your next 8 televised appearances for John Cena. They will all be featured on SmackDown. This Friday, September 1st, at Hershey, Pennsylvania, at the Giant Center. September 15th in Denver, Colorado at the Ball Arena. September 22nd in Glendale, Arizona at the Desert Diamond Arena. And before I go any further, for people that are going to ask, this is not dark matches. This is TV. September 22nd, Glendale, Arizona, Desert Diamond Arena. Sacramento, California on September 29th at the Golden One Center. October 6th, St. Louis, Missouri at the Enterprise Center. October 13th in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the BOK Center or the Bach Center. October 20th, San Antonio, Texas at the AT&T Center. And Friday, October 27th, Milwaukee, Wisconsin at the Pfizer Forum. Throughout his SmackDown return, John Cena, in a partnership with Make-A-Wish, will host children and their families in each of the 8 cities to experience a WWE event in person. For 40 years, WWE and Make-A-Wish have granted the wishes of children with life-threatening illnesses who desire to meet their favorite stars. John Cena is the most requested wish granter of all time, having granted more than 650 wishes for children across the globe. And we also know that John Cena will be appearing on September 8th in India for the Superstar Spectacle. So, get used to John Cena being on your television. After this Friday, in 2 weeks, he will be on TV for 7 straight weeks. Not every week will, I believe, feature a match, but we will see some interaction, and we'll definitely have some matches along the way as well. So, big deal. Big deal. I mean, you know, Edge just, you know, takes time off, and, you know, the bloodline, they have to, you know, tread carefully because there's so much time ahead of them. Believe me, I think WWE wishes right now was November. Seriously. If they could eat up 2 months and get to the end of November, I think it would be a lot easier for them. Because then you have December, and the next thing you know, the Royal Rumble. And once the Royal Rumble, it's the road to WrestleMania. And that's where you have Cody, you know, when Cody enters himself in the Royal Rumble to get that second shot. You know, I think that's where they're going with it. So, all right, let's close out tonight with some ratings. And some of these numbers are very surprising. Like I said, Friday SmackDown, bigger rating than the Bloodline in 3.5 years. Impact Wrestling. How would you react if I told you right now that New Japan Pro Wrestling had a higher demo than Impact? You know me. I never talk about demo unless it's really, really newsworthy. I don't know what the fuck happened with Impact over the last 3 weeks, but they are plummeting in numbers and the ever-so-special demo. When you hear, like, WWE, there's like 0.55, and AEW, there's like 0.31. Impact this week did 0.01, 30 times less than AEW. Who's watching it? Are people, seriously, are they all elderly people who just fall asleep and like, honey, I was watching the 6 o'clock news, and next thing I know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. And because they have a Nielsen box, they get, you know. All right. Raw last week. This is not a good number. Raw last week, 1,591,000. Down from the week prior is 1,758,000. The high point of last week's Raw was Gunther versus Chad Gable. 1,805,000 viewers. The low point from last Monday's Raw, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Cody Rhodes versus the Judgment Day did 1,408,000. 400,000 viewers less than Gunther versus Chad Gable. People are just tired for hour three and the same old shit. NXT last week did 720,000 viewers. That is up from the week prior, 680. The high point at Heatwave was Dominic Mysterio and Rhea Ripley taking on Dragon Lee and Lyra Vicaria. That did 775,000 viewers. The low point, once again, back is the Incredible. Once again, I bring it up, not to be an asshole, but people remember. So when it happens 4, 5, 6, 10 times, you can't say, hey, guys, Don Tony Show's been bringing this up for a while. Carmelo Hayes, once again, big loser in the ratings. How many times have we brought up Carmelo Hayes in the last 3 months that he is the lowest part of NXT? His match versus Wes Lee did 676,000 viewers. Not a bad number. It's only 100,000 less. But you would have thought that might have been the most important match at NXT Heatwave, and it was the lowest part of NXT. Props to Xander Elion, who knows why I said what I said. AEW Dynamite last week did 870,000 viewers. That is slightly down from the week prior, 874. The high point from last week was the brawl with the Blackpool Combat Club, Eddie Kingston, the return of Mike Santana, and Ray Phoenix being put in the ambulance. That did 914,000 viewers. The low point of last week's Dynamite, you guessed it, because we said it earlier, the Hardys versus Aussie Open. Not only did it only draw 758,000 viewers, the quarter right before it was 112,000 viewers more. 112,000 viewers right before that main event said, I'm going to bed. I'm watching something else. It's not like it's 112,000 less from the beginning of the show. The quarter before, they tuned it off. They didn't stick around. New Japan Pro Wrestling this past week did 70,000 viewers, way up from the week prior's 48,000, and their demo was twice as much as Impact Wrestling. Go figure. Impact Wrestling this week did 101,000 viewers. That is down from last week's 107, and they are down a good 30% over the last month. Rampage this past Friday did 348,000 viewers. That is way down from the week prior's 416. The high point from Rampage was Orange Cassidy defending the international title against Aaron Solo, which did 400,000 viewers. The low point from Friday was QT Marshall, who that, versus Gravity, and Luchasaurus versus Ren Jones. They only did 323. And this leaves us for SmackDown. SmackDown this past Friday did 2,647,000 viewers. That is up from the week prior's 2,094,000. They were up 550,000 viewers. The high point of SmackDown was the opening tributes to Bray Wyatt and Terry Funk. That did 2,894,000. And the low point from Friday was LA Knight versus Finn Balor and the close of SmackDown with the Bray Wyatt empty ring. That did 2,510,000. SmackDown was pretty consistent throughout the night. We didn't have any major drop. But once those opening tributes were done, a good 200,000 people stopped watching SmackDown for the night. Because remember, it was very, very recent. Remember when Jay and Jim, I don't remember which Uso kicked Roman Reigns. It almost did 3 million viewers. You know, this is the opening segment was very close to the Bloodline segment recently. But as far as an overall episode of SmackDown, Friday SmackDown was higher than the last time SmackDown was this high was February 28th, 2020. I'll give you a little bonus. The last time SmackDown was this high in the rating was February 28th, 2020. Do you want to know what happened on that SmackDown? The last one that was this high? Let me give you the match results first, and I'll tell you what else went down. Naomi beat Bayley by DQ. Naomi and Lacey Evans then teamed up to beat Bayley and Sasha Banks. Robert Roode defeated Kofi Kingston. Daniel Bryan beat Curtis Axel. And the Usos beat The Miz and John Morrison. This was also the SmackDown right after Goldberg beat The Fiend in Saudi Arabia for the WWE Universal Championship. This was the SmackDown where John Cena made his return and teased that he was retiring, and The Fiend interrupted him and then pointed to the WrestleMania sign and wanted to face John Cena at WrestleMania, which led to the cinematic match. Also that night, there was a contract signing with Braun Strowman and Shinsuke Nakamura, who were going to face each other at Elimination Chamber. And Goldberg made an appearance as well. He was going to be challenged at WrestleMania by Roman Reigns. We know how that turned out. Pretty wild, right? That's the last time SmackDown was this high. All right, before we get out of here, Bobby Means is asking, what do I think the TV deal looks like for WWE? Well, nothing has changed, like I said a few weeks ago. Fox and USA Network are the front runners. Amazon and all the other streaming medias, all, you know, WWE is going to go to the highest bidder. WWE is going to go to an area where they're going to be safe. Fox and USA Network are still the front runners. The financial markets, the financial outlets, the news out there, they all talk about that. It's only wrestling sites that are clickbaiting you that Amazon or Disney or this might be. They're all part of it. But those are the same people that were telling you that AEW could possibly buy WWE. So pay attention to just the financial markets out there and the non-wrestling news sites. They're the ones that are going to give you the accurate information. Remember, they're the ones that I trusted when we had the upfronts in New York City. Every wrestling website said that AEW is going to sign a 5-year deal worth $2 billion. Remember all that garbage? Meanwhile, that week before, we said, nah, they don't announce TV deals at the upfronts. Why are these people saying this? Doesn't, and all the financial sites were saying the same thing. No TV deals, and they were all lying. They were all hoping. They were all fantasizing. They had no contacts whatsoever. So do not pay attention to the wrestling news sites out there. Pay attention to the non-wrestling sites if you want to know what's going on with the TV deals. So anyway, We went long again. I wanted this to be a shorter show. Obviously, I wasn't going to rush talking about the Cardiac Life Fest and what happened with Bray Wyatt. I'm very, very sad what happened the last couple of days. If you would have said to me at any part of my wrestling fandomhood since 1979 that in a matter of 24 hours, my all-time favorite wrestler and my current favorite wrestler would both die in 24 hours, I would have been like, you know, you're nuts. And that's what happened. So you best damn believe if I'm going to cover anything about either one, Terry Funk or Bray Wyatt, you best damn believe that I'm going to go all in, no pun intended, and do a little bit extra. They deserve that. They deserve that. They actually meant that much to me, not just what they did in the ring, but outside the ring. So I am going to, you know, give the extra time. But don't forget, I'm going to be on vacation from this Friday, September 1st, until Saturday, September 9th. My next show, well, we have a couple of shows this week to still do. As I said earlier, Kev and I will be doing WWE Payback Preview and Predictions. We're going to record it tomorrow night on Patreon, and we'll post it for everybody on Wednesday morning. Then Wednesday night, we have, we will talk about everything with AEW, Impact Wrestling, NWA, NXT. We got a lot to talk about, so that'll be on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, I'm going to record the final part of the Q&A episode. That Q&A will drop automatically on September 4th for everyone. So even though I'll be on vacation the week that I'm off, the history show will still drop. And on Thursday, the 4th of September, my Q&A will drop. And then after that, the next time you'll see me is on Sunday, September 10th for the sit-down. So I am going to rest my voice because we have done, 7 hours of shows since Saturday. Sucks under these circumstances, you know, that we had to all get together. But, you know, thank you, Bray Wyatt, for all the memories. Thank you, Terry Funk, for all the memories. And they're in a better place. They're definitely in a better place. So, my friends, it's been fun. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. I don't need to tell you all. I don't need to force you all. And if you know anyone else out there that would enjoy the shows, let them know about it. Keep supporting the website, dontony.com. Keep downloading the audio shows. That is the lifeline for what I do. If that doesn't do well, I'm not here. That is the God honest truth. So definitely do that. And thank you very much. And I'll see you all again soon. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.